And we're holding on your test Umut Bey is the third to last line of the narrow lines, the line against Shmuel. We talked yesterday about the point that before the Edim sign the get there or any shtar, they're supposed to read it. So more on that topic, Omer Ravina, Omer Li Amemar, Hochi Omer Maremer Meshmed Rav Dimi. So Ravina says that Amemar told him that Maremer had said the following in the name of Rav Dimi. Hani Beitre Di Yohiv Gita Kamaihu, when you have two Edim that a get has been given in their presence. So before we were talking about the Edim who signed the get. Now we're talking about the Edim Asira, the ones who are watching the get being given over. So they also, Tzrich L'mikriye, they should read it before it's given. So the Gemara says Meisvi. I have a contradiction though. A Braisa says Hareza Gitech. We learned this before. Hareza Gitech. If the husband says to the wife, "Here's your get," Untalatu was Rakatu la Yam or la Ura the Chol Davar Avid. She took it and threw it into the sea or into the fire or any place else where it gets destroyed. And then the husband, after she did that, comes and says, shtar pasim hu, that actually wasn't a get, it was only a shtar pasim. As we said yesterday, that would be a shtar where somebody convinces his friend to write him a shtar that says that he owes him a lot of money, where he trusts that the friend won't actually try to collect on it, but this way he'll appear more wealthy. It'll appear more that, look at that, somebody was willing to lend him such a large amount of money. So he claims it was a shtar like that, or shtar amonahu, or that it was a shtar amona, which is also a kind of false shtar, where he wrote the shtar intending to borrow the money, but hasn't actually borrowed it yet, and gave it to the malva, again trusting that the person written in the document as the malva is not going to actually try to collect on it, since in fact there was no loan. By the way, elsewhere the Gemara says and Ksubas that you're not supposed to write such shtaris in the first place. But in any case, the fact is they could be written. And here the husband is claiming that this shtar that he gave her was actually one of those and not a get. Nevertheless, the Braisa says Megureshes, she's considered divorced. V'loy kol haymenu l'oisra. We don't believe him to say that she's osir and that what he gave her was not in fact a get. So ask the Gemara, the Yamat Srich of the Mikriye. Now, if you're going to tell me that the Ede, the Sira, have to read the get before it's handed over, so what's the problem? After they read it and they know for a fact that it's a get, how would he even have a possibility of telling her such a thing? So the fact that the Braisa is saying that we don't believe him to say it implies we might have. We don't know what it actually said on there. However, we're not gonna say that he gave it to her and said Hareza Gitech, and later on he has the ability to claim that he played a trick on her. So if Ravina is saying in this whole chain of Amiroyim that they have to read it beforehand, then how would it ever be possible for him to even make such a claim in the first place? The Edom would right away contradict him. The answer is the Gemara says loit tzricha de bosu de kayua. Yes, but the chiddush of the braisa is that after the edim read the get, ayla lebe yode, then he stuck the get into his sleeve, ba'apke, and then he took it out and gave it to her and said hareza gitich. Be yode can mean a sleeve. Rashi says, generally speaking, it just means tachas knofav, under a corner of his garment. So whatever, he hid it someplace and then he took it out. Now you could think that maybe conceivably he exchanged it for another document, Kamash Malan, and therefore the Braisa is telling us you don't have to worry about it. The fact that we saw him put it in there, the fact that we saw him take it out, as long as we don't have any reason to think that it was a different shtar, then we can assume that it is the same get that the Edom just read, and therefore, that's good, and we don't have to worry that it might have been something else. Tosfos does mention, though, the Tosfos does discuss the question. So what would happen if the Edom did not read the get ahead of time? Would it in fact be a valid get? So first Tosfos says the implication from the way our Gemara presented the case seems to be that if they don't read it, maybe it's taken not a get at all. even if it's not a matter of a concern that he might have exchanged it for another document or that it might not have been a get at all. But then Tosfos says that maybe in fact we would say it's not a get as far if the Edom didn't read it before the Mesira. She wouldn't be allowed to remarry on it, but if she did, maybe we're not going to force her to get divorced. And then you also have the possibility, maybe it's different over here where he put it into his sleeve. What we're saying is the Edom should have read it the second time, but if they didn't, if they only read it the first time, then if they only read it the first time before he put it in his sleeve, then b'dieved, we're not going to go so far as to say that it's going to be possible. So Tosfos brings up a few possibilities. In practice, the halacha is that, yes, the Edom should read the get before it's given. Besides the Edi Chasima, also the Edi Mesira. Typically, of course, those are the same Edim, but they don't necessarily have to be. And yes, if it was out of sight for a while, for example, in a sleeve, then yes, they should be rereading it before it's actually handed to the woman or to her shliach. Okay. Another example involving this kind of thing of a get that may have been interchanged with something else, the Gemara says, Ahu gavra dezorak l'gita l'dvesu. There was once a man who threw a get to his wife, but he didn't actually throw it to her. He threw it to her chotzer. We're going to learn in great detail later on in the Masechta that that's valid. If he throws it into an area which is her reshus, then that's a valid get. So he did that. Lebeni Dani specifically, he threw it into an area between the barrels of wine. Ishtakach mezuzah. Later on, they checked over there. They didn't find the get, but they found a mezuzah lying there among the barrels. The question is that what he threw to her? Maybe he threw her a mezuzah and not a get at all. Omer of Nachman, mezuzah beinidani lo shchicha. But Rav Nachman says it's not very common to find a mezuzah among the barrels of wine. So therefore, very likely, that is what he threw her, because how else would a mezuzah be there of all things? So therefore, in other words, she wouldn't be considered megurashas even misam. However, the Gemara says, "Vahani mila de ishtakach chodah." However, that would only be if you only found among the barrels over there, you only found the one document, and it was a mezuzah. Aval beis gimel. But if you found two or three mezuzahs, then and you know you saw that the husband threw only one thing, so then we have to be concerned. Midaha havoi. Just as evidently one of those mezuzahs was there from before, because obviously he didn't throw all of them. So therefore, ha nami havoi. Therefore, the other one may have been there before. So therefore, maybe he actually threw a get. And there were previously several mezuzahs there among the barrels. The gita, and as far as the get itself, emor achborim shaklua, you might have to be concerned that maybe he did in fact throw her a get, and mice took it away, and therefore she would be suffic megurashas. Okay. Next. Hahu gavra de ol beiknishta. There was a case of a man who went into a shul, shokal sefer Torah. He took a sefer Torah, and yohiv lo ledvesu, he handed the sefer Torah to his wife, v'omala ho gitech, and he says, here's your get. The question then is there any possibility that that was a valid get? Omer of Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, evidently not. There's no reason we should be concerned that it has any possible validity of a get. L'may nechush, l'may leichushla. After all, says Rabbi Yosef, what should we be concerned of? What are the possibilities? Imishum meimilin, should we be concerned that maybe he wrote on the back of the Sefer Torah at some previous point, or in the margin of the Sefer Torah or whatever, maybe he wrote an entire get there, and he wrote it with May Millen, which, as we learned yesterday, is water in which gall nuts have been soaked. You can use it to write on parchment or on paper, but we said a May Millen, agave May Millen, as we learned yesterday. If you write with that, if you write with that substance on parchment that was also treated with Millen, that was also treated with gall nuts, it's not going to come out at all, because then you have basically white on white. So since the parchment for the Sefer Torah has to have been prepared with gall nuts, that's you have several parts of the process of making parchment. Like Gemara mentions them elsewhere, and the last one of them is that you treat it with gall nuts, which gives it a white writing surface. So therefore, there was no possible. And so unlike a regular get, the Gemara tells us elsewhere. I think we're also going to have it in this parak. can be written on parchment that wasn't treated with that, because we're not really concerned with the point is what the gallnut treatment does to the parchment we talked about yesterday. It makes it that now if you erase something on the parchment, it will be noticeable. So on a get, we don't really care about that, because there's nothing really on a get that we're concerned was altered. But on other shtaris, there are to a certain extent. But anyway, so with the Sefer Torah, though, of course, it has to be written on cloth, and that means that on vil or on cloth, whatever, and that means it has to have been treated with that. So therefore, there's no possibility that he wrote me milin, because that wouldn't be a valid get anyway. Imishum krisus de isba. Are you going to say, says Rabbi Yosef, maybe the concern is, after all, the Sefer Torah has in it the section that says Sefer krisus, that talks about the din, that if a man wants to divorce his wife, he has to write her Sefer krisus. And you're going to say maybe that the fact that it says those words Sefer krisus would be enough for it to be considered a get, at least on a daraisa level. Obviously, d'rabbanan, you have a lot of other details that need to be written in a get, but still. No, because as we know, we're going to learn in the next parak, the get has to be written l'shma, and you don't have that. The Sefer Torah was written long before this, maybe long before this couple even got married, let alone before he had any intention of divorcing her. So you might say maybe you should be concerned that to begin with, when the sofer was writing the Sefer Torah, maybe this guy gave a little money to the sofer and told him, when you write that parasha of Gittin and parashas Kisetze, have in mind that one day I may want to use it to divorce my wife. That still wouldn't work. The fact is, you have, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that a get that has different names that has the wrong names for the man or the woman, or for the names of their city, is possible. Rashi points out maybe we don't need the word Shina over here, because we're not talking about changing the names. The Sefer Torah doesn't have any of their names. It's just that's the point. It doesn't have any of their names at all. So, okay, so Rashi says, fine, the reason why we're saying the word Shina is because that's the expression in the Mishnah later on. But the point is that Mishnah establishes that you have to have their names in the get. And without that, it's not a valid get. So therefore, so what's the problem? The Sefer Torah obviously doesn't have their names in it. In fact, Tosfos discusses that later on when we learn that Mishnah towards the end of the Masechta, we're going to say that actually, so the Mishnah says over there that such a get is possible even to the extent that if she remarries, then that she's still an Eishes Ish and the child will be a Mamzer. And the Gemara says over there that's only according to the Meir. The according to the Rabbanon, apparently it would only be possible with the Rabbanon. But Tosfos says no, that Reb Meir would say that it would be possible actually minat Torah, because after all, you have to have something in there that shows that Pliny is divorcing his wife if you don't have that. In fact, Tosfos says when we say over there Shina Shmo Yushma, we don't necessarily mean that they wrote the wrong name. Rather, what we mean is, for example, you can have a case where the husband is known by one name in one place and by a different name in a different place, and they wrote the get in one place, and they use the name that he's known by in a different place. So there, the point is, in other words, that even then we're saying that it would be possible. How much more so if you didn't write the names at all? So therefore, sort of Yosef is going on to say then. So again, if he gives her a Sefer Torah, so what would be the problem? Obviously, you don't have their names in there. In fact, the Ramban also mentions that b'dieved, if you don't write the names of the places where the get was done or where they live, it might be kosher b'dieved, but at least on a daraisa level. So we're talking about if it has their names. One second. So the Ramban says you do have to have, in order for it to be lishma, it has to be that it has their names. But to write like this, a get usually has the name of the place where it was written, the name of the city where it was written. But yeah, maybe if you don't have that, it would be kosher. But you certainly need their names, and you don't have that when you're using a Sefer Torah.
Jewish Do you mean that the question is
in other words that so the question would be rather on the Shina Shma Yoshma that you need to have their names in there. The question, in other words, would not be so much on Shma on Shem Iroi v'Shem Ira. It's true, maybe those are not ma'akev, and then the get would be kosher without them. Only if you wrote the wrong city. If you're doing the get in Brooklyn and you wrote Muncie, then yeah, it would be possible. But if you didn't write the name of the place at all, b'dieved, it might be kosher, says the Ramban. But you certainly need to have, in order for it, the whole definition of a get sefer krisus means that it has to have at least their names on it. So that's what we say. So we're bringing from a Mishnah later that says Shino Shmo Yoshma, which says that if they change the names, and again, Rashi says maybe we don't really need the word Shino over here. We're not talking about altering the names. We're talking about not putting their names at all. If they don't put the names at all, then how is it? Then it's not safe for Christos. Then it's not a get. So what's the concern now? When this guy gives a safer Torah to his wife, why would there even be a Hava Amina, says Rabbi Yosef, to think that it should be considered a proper get? So Veleka, you don't have it. So the Gemara says, okay, well then Rabbi Yosef Maiko Mash Malon. Well then what is Rabbi Yosef's chidush? Based on what he's saying, it seems pretty obvious that a Sefer Torah can't function as a get even on the minimum Daraisa level. So what's the point that he's telling us? It should just say it's not a get, and that's that. Kamash Malon, the answer is that She'en Mei Milan, Agami Mei Milan. Rabbi Yosef wants us to know what he mentioned before. You should realize that if you write with Mei Milan on parchment that was treated with Milan, then it's not going to work because you don't have valid writing over there. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Yosef wants us to know, that therefore we might have thought otherwise without him telling that maybe it would be a valid get written, so to speak, in invisible ink like that. And the answer is that no. And since obviously the text of the Sefer Torah itself does not have anything that could constitute a get, even Daraisa, then there's nothing to be concerned about.
Again,
Mei Milan is water in which gallnuts were soaked. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara, by the way, yeah. So gallnuts are a growth that grow on certain kinds of trees, particularly oak trees. You find, for example, in the description of the Beis Mikdash in Masechta Midas, it mentions over there that they had chomesh maltrias shel melas. They had five decorative beams of wood above the door of the heichal. And melas over there is the same kind of thing. It's oak wood, and since often on oak trees these kinds of growths grow where an insect attacks the tree and the tree produces this growth to defend itself, and then therefore so both the tree and the growths are called milin. Okay, fine. The Gemara says here's another case. Omen of Chista. Get shekosve shaloi lishma. Suppose that you wrote a get not lishma, and you can have any number of possibilities. We're going to learn in the next parak about a whole bunch of them. You can have where the sofer wrote the get for practice. You can have where he wrote it intending for the Goldsteins, and instead now the Silversteins want to use it. You can have all kinds of cases. Anyway, so the hebrew of kulmus lishma. Now he writes over it. He traces over the letters with the pen to do that lishma. Now that brings us to a machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether that would be kosher, whether that would be considered lishma. Now we learned yesterday, actually, we talked about that if he writes dioy agabe dioy, we said if he writes ink on top of ink, then we said it doesn't count as writing. So Tosfos discussed over there, how does that fit with our Gemara over there? There we said flat out that it's not considered writing. Here we say that Rabbi Yehuda might say that it's kosher. So Tosfos over there answered that because there you're talking about where there is a difference between the writings. One is Shaloi Lishma, one is Lishma. So you could say the second one, therefore, is adding something to the first one, whereas the previous Gemara on Daf Yud Tes was talking about where the first one to begin with was Lishma, and therefore you're not at, or where Lishma is not relevant. There it was talking about as far as Hilchos Shabbos, whether it's considered writing or not, where the second one is not really adding anything to the first one. Anyway. No, we're not just talking about outlines and filling in. We're actually talking about where you have the outline and then you're filling in. That may actually, the outline itself, so whether the outline itself is considered writing is a different question. That's, you have that as far as when they finish Sefer Torah and they make the outlines of letters and people fill them in, whether the original outline that was there is considered a letter is a whole different question. But no, here at Pashtos, we're talking about you have the actual properly formed letter over there, but it wasn't lishma. So, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hareshar Itzarech Lichtev as Hashem, suppose that a sofer had to write in a certain place Hashem's name. Now, when you're writing Hashem's name, you have to have kavana that you're, and you have to say that you're writing Hashem kedushas Hashem. Instead, the sofer mistakenly thought that he's supposed to write the word Yehuda over here. V'tovla hitto by dalid. By mistake, he left out the dalid. So now he's written the letters yudke vovke, but he didn't have in mind that it's l'shem kedushas Hashem. So mavrol of kol musa makadche divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no problem. He can write over it. And have in mind that it should be l'shem kedushas Hashem, and it'll still work. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, v'chachamim ein Hashem min hamuvchar. The chachamim say that no, that's not the proper way of writing Hashem's name. In other words, that therefore they're going to say that's no good. So on the face of it, then the same thing would apply as far as the get, where it wasn't written l'shma, and now he wants to rewrite over the letters l'shma. But Omer of Achav Yaakov Dilma Lohi. But Rav Achav Yaakov says not necessarily is that a valid comparison. You know why the Chachamim say there in the case of Hashem's name that you can't do that, because you have to do mitzvahs have to be done in the most beautiful possible way. Actually, I had that in Ein Yaakov yesterday as well. Velecha, and here you don't have it. So now what would be wrong? In what way is it not the best way? The Magen Avraham makes a point. He says, because then the Sefer Torah will appear to be menuma. It'll be like it's spotted. Like you have some parts of it are written in fresher ink and some in older ink. That's one way of understanding it. There's other ways of understanding what exactly the problem is. In what way would it not be muvcher? Anyway, the point is that the chacham would have a special reason to say in that case that it should be possible. Another way of looking at it is that basically after all it was written shalor l'shma, the writing on top of it is not really adding anything. So therefore you can't really call it van veyu avol hochaloi. But if you were to get, you don't have that point that you need zekeli van veyu, so maybe it wouldn't be a problem. So he's saying that maybe it would be good, maybe not then. Okay, the Gemara continues. Omer Rav Chista, Yechuna l'mifsalinu l'kula gitte d'alma. Rav Chista says, I could have a way, alpi halacha, of declaring all gittin in the world to be possible. Now, how is that? So Omer le Rava, my time. So Rava says, what exactly, Rav Chista, would you say that would make any get possible? Are you going to say because the pasuk says that he should write, implying that the husband is the one who has to write the get? Here, when it comes to the get, it's the woman. She doesn't write the get herself, but she's the one who pays the sofer for writing it. So it actually mentions there's a Mishnah in Bava Basra that goes through the whole all the details with all different kinds of shtaris, who pays the sofer in each case. When a ksuba is written, when a get is written, when a shtar choyv is written, etc. Each one, which party it is that pays them. So in the case of a get, the Mishnah says over there that the woman has to pay for it. And the reason for that is, the Gemara says over there, because of takonas agunas, we don't want to have that the husband may say, well, if I have to pay for the sofer, I can't be bothered. Then in that case, no get will be written and she'll be stuck. Therefore, the Chachamim said that she should be the one to pay for the get to be written, and that way it'll get done as soon as possible. Anyway, the point is, you're going to argue, says Rava to Rav Chista, that in that case, then you say you have the lack of that din. That's not a problem. Maybe after all, the Chachamim were makne to the husband that money. After all, hefker based in hefker. In fact, the Dilma is not even really, the Ramban says that it's not even a Dilma. It has to be for sure that way. But because of the cover of Rav Chista, he doesn't want to say flat out that Rav Chista said something wrong. So he says maybe. But in fact, that would be how it is. By the way, further on, we're going to talk about that after all, a get can be written on Isurei Hana. So therefore, you can even have that the get itself doesn't really belong to any of them, in the sense that you're not allowed to have an off from it, and yet you're allowed to write a get on it. So, but still, the point is that uh, so so the so the Chachamim could always take Hefker based and Hefker and make that the money that she's giving the sofer in effect belongs to the husband. It does mention, by the way, because of this consideration in Shulchan Aruch and Seder Aget, that ideally they should be machna, the cloth and the pen and everything to the husband before the get is written. And that way we're more fulfilling the chosav law. Anyway, the elam shum dechtiv v'nosan. So are you going to say, Rava says, the problem is maybe that the pasuk says he should give it. The hochal yohiv l'midi. And here he's not actually giving her anything in the sense that the get does not necessarily have to be worth even a pruta. So therefore you're going to argue that at least many gittin, maybe not every single get, but most gittin, if not all of them, are worth less than a pruta, and therefore you're going to argue that you have a reason to say that they're all possible. So what? Dumanasinas geti says Rava. Maybe in fact the venosan does not refer to giving an amount that's worth a pruta. It just means the get itself, that he gives her the get, and it doesn't matter whether it's worth a pruta or not. Teda. In fact, you can see that the Sholcho Mutam, because we see they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael, Kosval is Surah Hanah Kosher, that if you write the get on something that's also Hanah, it's kosher, even though you're not allowed to have Hanah from it. So therefore, you see that it doesn't have to be now. Now, Rishonim do point out, if the Isur Hanah is something that where there's a mitzvah to destroy it, for example, if let's say you were to write a get on something that belongs to Avodah Zarah, that's different because then it has to be destroyed. So then we consider as though it was already destroyed. But we're talking about, let's say, Surah Hanah over here. Let's say, for example, you took skin from a shirt on Niskal and you wrote a get on it. So the shirt on Niskal is also Hanah, but there's no particular mitzvah that you have to destroy any piece of skin that came from it. You have to stone the shirt, that's all. So therefore, that would be an example. You're not allowed to have Hanah from it. Nevertheless, you can write a get on it. So we see the get doesn't have to be worth a pruta. In fact, Tosfos mentions over here, you have several other examples in Torah where we see the Torah says to give something and it doesn't have to be worth a pruta. So Rava says, so you see, there's no particular reason you, Rav Chista, are saying there could be conceivably a reason to say that all gittin are possible, but in fact, it seems to be not like that. There's a very interesting thing from Rav Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, where he says, "Pnimius in Yonim." Rav Chista, he says, comes from Loshen Chesed. So therefore, a get, on the other hand, is an expression of gvura because you're separating a husband and wife. So therefore, Rav Chista, from the point of view of Chesed, wants to say there shouldn't be any room in the world for that kind of gvura of a get. Therefore, he wants to pass all of them. Meanwhile, comes along Rava, who himself represents gvura, as he explains over there, and says that no, after all, a get does have, there is room in the world for the concept of get, for the concept of gerushin to exist. And he goes on to say, also he mentions over there also how Rava's point over there is also bound up with Das, and the word Teda that he uses over here is the same letters as Das, and he has it's not a very long piece, unlike some of Rav Levick's other pieces, which are very long. This one is fairly short. You can find it in Chedushim of Yoram Lashas.
Would imply that this should be.
So in other words, he's saying that based on Das, we can show also that even though Das is something that connects Chochma and Bina, nevertheless, it still leaves room for the possibility of them being separated. Anyway, it continues the Gemara. Gufa, Sholcha Mitam, let's analyze that point that we said they sent from Eretz Yisrael. Kosval is Surah Hanah Kosher, that if the get was written on something that's also Hanah, then nevertheless it's kosher. Omer Ravashi, Afanan Nami Tanena. So Ravashi says, in fact, you can see that from something we learned in the Mishnah. We said Allah Ola Shel Zayis. We said that a get conceivably could be written on an olive leaf. Now, an olive leaf is certainly worth less than a pruta. So we said before that an olive leaf will be Miskayim. That's Tosfos mentions. Tosfos mentions further on a Tosfos that was actually supposed to be printed on the Mishnah, but it's printed in the Gemara here on Chof Aleph Amud Beis, that he brings from Tesefta. That yeah, if you were to write it, for example, on an onion leaf or on a rose leaf or whatever, those dry up too quickly. That wouldn't be Davar Miskayim. But an olive leaf it will last long term, and therefore you could write a get on it.
Longer term,
right? I mean, it won't last for hundreds of years, but it doesn't need to.
It gets hard, and then whatever.
It becomes, yeah. Anyway, so therefore, so you see that it doesn't have to be worth a pruta. Obviously, you wouldn't be able to write out the entire nusach of the get on it, but you could write at least the bare minimum, the shmoy and shma, and the words hareyat, and the words hareyat muteris l'chadam. Anyway, so you see, it doesn't have to be worth a shavah prota. The same way Rav Ashi says, you can see from that what the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael is saying, that it doesn't, that can be an isur hanah as well. But the Gemara says that's not necessarily a proof. Dilma shiny ola shozais, the chazir leitz terufi. After all, you could say, yes, one olive leaf by itself is not worth very much, but you could join a bunch of them together. You could have a whole bunch of olive leaves, and then you have a soft area that you could lie on, or you could use them for animal food. So any individual one is not worth a pruta, but you could join it together with other ones and eventually have a pruta's worth, as opposed to isurei hana. They're never going to be worth a pruta because they're also bahana. So therefore, the proof from the Mishnah is not really a solid proof. They are also, by the way, in that piece and also in the previous piece, Reb Levick points out the reason why does the Mishnah choose an olive leaf dafka? And he explains because olives themselves have to do with then the oil of them has to do with chokhmah and has to do with the connection between a husband and wife. But the leaf, which is bitter and is more of a chitzoniyistic thing of the tree, has more to do with separation. And we see that the dove brought back a bitter olive leaf to Noach and says, I don't want to have to deal with you anymore. I'd rather get my food directly from Hashem. And therefore, he says, "B'tnimis ein yonim," it has something to do with the concept of Gavishin.
So I get the saying, like, I don't want to have to do with people anymore.
Not so much people, but the wife is saying, I'm now independent, or the husband is saying that you're now independent of me, right? Yeah, maybe in a certain sense, yeah. Okay, anyway. Fine, the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Rebbe Yomer Kosvei Isura Hana Kosher. Rebbe says that if you wrote the get on Isura Hana, then like we said, it would be kosher. So the Gemara says, Nafak Levi Dorsha Meshmei de Rebbe. Levi went out and Darshan that to some other people in the name of Rebbe, Veloy Kalsuha, and they didn't praise it. They didn't accept that this is a valid, that this is a valid din, because he had said it in the name of a Yochin, in the name of only Rebbe. Meshmei de Rabbim Vekilsuha. Then he Darshan it again in a different time and said in the name of the Rabbim so that they would accept it, Vekilsuha, and they did praise it. Alma Hilchsakabasei, that shows. Since Rashi said, since Levi went to so much trouble to make sure that they should accept this din, that shows the halacha must be like it.
And Ola Shel Zayis
is that not just an Ola Shel Zayis, that's in the Mishnah, but that you can write on Yisurei Hana and it would be kosher. So Tosfos learns a little differently, not so much because Levi went to the trouble another time of presenting it Mishmei the Rabbim, but rather the very fact that when he said it Mishmei the Rabbim, they praised it. But when he said it, Mishmei de Yochid, when he said it only in the name of Rebbe, the fact that they didn't praise it because they were saying, why are you saying it only in the name of a Yochid? Does that imply the halacha is not like it? Then that itself implies that the halacha is like this point. And that is, in fact, the halacha you can write the get on Yisurei Hana, or maybe it's not the lachilidika thing to do.
Who was Levi?
Levi was a Talmud of Rebbe. We find him all over Shas.
His chaver
was, we have in the Gemara in Ksubas, that for a while he learned with Reb Chanina over there, where Reb Chanina was supposed to be the next Rosh Yeshiva, but he didn't take the job out of respect for Reb Office, so he and Reb Chanina learned together. Next, Tanan Abban, v'kosav v'loy chokak. Here's another din as far as the writing of a get. The Pasuk says that the husband should write the get for his wife. That implies, therefore, that it can't be carved out. So for example, you can't take, a piece of wood or something and carve out the letters of the and scratch out the letters of the get with a knife. So the Gemara asks, remember the Hakika Lav Ksivahi. So you're telling me that engraving is not considered writing? Or a minu, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Eved Chiyotze B'Ksav Shar Gabi Tavlo Pinkas. If an Eved goes out meaning he's going free. And you're freeing him using, now we know that one way of freeing an Eved is with a shtar. Generally speaking, that's how an Eved gets freed. So if that shtar was written, the ksav shal gabe tavla, if it was writing that was on a wooden board, so the master scratched out the letters over there on the board, or pinkas, or on a pinkas, which is a notebook kind of, which also, so Rashi describes that merchants scratch on it with a pen. In various other places, it explains actually that a pinkas like that would be made out of tablets coated with wax, and you would take a stylus and scratch on the wax to form letters. So then that's fine. So yotze l'cheirus, that's considered a valid thing for him to be freed, because that's considered writing. Avaloy b'ksav shagabi kippa, but not if the eved has writing that was has writing on a hat. So you took a hat and embroidered the letters on and embroidered the letters of the shtar shikra on it. That wouldn't work. V'anduchteri, or an anduchteri, which is Rashi explains as a type of tachshit, a type of ornament that also has embroidery on it. So if you embroider the letters of the get shikra on such things, then it's no good. Because Rashi explains, you really only have only the two ends of the thread are embedded into the cloth or whatever surface the kippah or anduchteri is made out of. The rest of it is kind of just sitting on top. It's stuck into it here and there, but it can very easily be pulled out. Seems to be the idea. So we see though that if it's al gabe tavlo pinkas, even though it's scratched into the surface, then it works. Yotze l'cheiros. So why should it be any different by a get? In fact, Tosfos points out, really, when you get down to it, the luchos also, the writing was engraved, and the pasuk calls it writing. But the Gemara prefers to ask a question from a get shichru, which is also a type of get, after all. So that's the question. So how could you say that's invalid when it comes to a get? The answer is Oma Ula, Oma Rabalazo, like Kasha. Hodchok toiches, hodchok yereches. It depends what exactly he carved out. And by the way, as far as this andruchteri, the oruch on the side over here gives a different explanation. He says that they take lulav leaves and they dye them, and then they use them to weave them into mats, like the way the Arabs do. Arabic writing is very flowing, is a very flowing script, so they can do that. They can use like leaves or whatever embroidered onto a surface and make it look like writing. Anyway, the point is that
you didn't help me with the Arabs writing. I haven't been.
You know, you actually have. You know the famous story involving the Baal Shem Tov, the Sultan who was kidnapped, and he convinces his captors that he's an expert weaver and he can weave carpet. So you have that kind of thing, actually, where he weaves into the carpet. He weaves one letter of his name each day. What? So that's why each day he weaves into the day when he makes a carpet, each week, whatever, he weaves in one letter of his name.
It's something that is easily to dispose.
Yeah, but whatever. The point is,
they make it like he wove beautiful.
Yeah, letters. There's different versions of the story, but whatever. Anyway, the point is that the Oruch is saying that Andruchtari over here would be something similar. Anyway, the point is, Omar Ula, Omar Rabalaz, like Kasha, Hodachok Toiches, Hodachok Yerethes. It depends what you carved out. If you carved out the actual letters themselves, the actual lines of the letters themselves, then sure, that would be considered writing. So yeah, when we're saying over here, an Evan has a wooden tablet on which you scratched out the letters of a get shichru, and that's fine. Sure, because in other words, what we mean is where you want to write an aleph, you scratched a horizontal, you scratched a diagonal line for the body of the aleph, and a thing on top for the top yud, and a thing on bottom for the bottom yud, and so forth, and you scratched out the actual letters themselves.
Then it's good.
As opposed to when we're saying that it's no good, would be if you scratched out the areas around when we're saying that it would be no good in the case of a get or a get shichru, for that matter, would be where you carved out the insides of the letters. In other words, what you do is, let's say where you need an aleph, instead of doing three strokes for the three parts of the aleph, instead you carve out the area around where the aleph should be, and you leave the aleph sticking out up from the surface. That wouldn't be considered writing, because then you haven't actually formed the letter itself. You only formed it by removing the material around it. That's called chak toiches. You have that as far as sifrei Torah, as far as stam as well, that you have a din. The letters themselves have to be written. You can't, for example, have that. Let's say a glob of ink falls on the parchment. You can't scrape away part of it to make a letter. Or you have, for example, that it fell on a letter that already exists. You can't scrape it away to reveal the letter that was there. That would be an example of chak toiches. So yeah, that's not considered writing. So in the case of a get, then that would also be no good. So yes, when we say v'kosav v'lo chokak, it means, for example, that if where you have a letter, you're scraping away the material around where the letter should be, and you're leaving the letter sticking out, that would be no good. That's not considered writing. But if you actually scratch out the letter itself, sure, that would be fine. So the Gemara asks, "V'toiches loy." So you're telling me it would be.
Yeah,
What?
What would mean
yireches? So yireches means the actual the actual strokes of the letters themselves. So
that would that be good?
So that would be good. In other words, so you have a piece of wood over there, for example. You're scratching out a line for the middle of the aleph and a line for the top of the aleph and a line. That's fine. That's called yireches. That's fine. That's considered writing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How would that work in Stam, for instance?
So in Stam would be the idea. So you're not scratching, but it's the same idea. You're actually taking the pen and writing the stroke of the aleph and
that's
the
awesome. What's chok?
So chok would be, so in the case of Stam, you don't really have chak. You don't really have chak yireches so much. What?
Anyway.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, chak toichus is a problem. Okay. So they're going to ask for toichus loy. So you're telling me that if you scratch out the areas around the letters and leave the letters sticking out, it's no good. Or the minu. I have a contradiction. A braisa says, as far as the tzitz, where the tzitz, you had on the tzitz, it was written kodesh l'Hashem. And the braisa says, loy ha'yuchsovah shekeah. The writing on the tzitz was not embossed into the surface. It wasn't below the surface. Ela boilet kedinrei zahav. It was sticking out of the tzitz like golden, like the writing on a gold dinner, which sticks out of the surface of the coin. So now the whole dinrei zahav toichasein. Now when you stamp out a gold dinner, isn't an example of chak toichas. Rashi explains, how do you make a gold dinner after all? You have a die that has the image that's to be on the coin or the lettering that's to be on the coin in reverse. You have it incused into the surface. And then you hammer it on. You take the blank that's going to be the coin. You hammer the die onto it. And the Pashtos, the Gemara is assuming, although the Gemara is going to actually ask this in a second, that what you're doing is you're pushing on the areas. So let's say you have on the coin, you want to have, let's say, a letter A. So what you're doing is you're pushing down the gold in the places where you should not have the letter A, and the place where it's going to stick out is going to remain as is. It's not going to be, it's not being moved, the gold over there is not being moved from its place, in effect. So that's an example. You're stamping out the area around it. You're pushing down on the letter, on the area around the letter in order to form the letter A. And we see in the case of the tzitz that that's considered writing. So the answer is no. What the braisa means is kedinrei zahav de boilet v'loy kedinrei zahav. What the braisa means is kedinrei zahav v'loy kedinrei zahav. The braisa means in one way the writing on the tzitz is like on a gold coin, but in a different way not. It is kedinrei zahav de boilet. It is like on a golden coin in the sense that it sticks out, unlike, so it's not carved into the surface of the tzitz. V'loy kedinrei zahav, but it's not made in the way that a gold dinner is. D'ilo hasam toichas v'hocha yireches, because in the case of the gold coin, again, what do? The die has the parts of the die that stick out more, those press down on the area around the letter that you want to form on the coin, and therefore, so now you have an example of chak yireches, of chak toichas, where you're forming the letter by pushing down the material around it. As opposed to with the tzitz, what they actually did is the Rambam describes what they did with the tzitz is they would put the tzitz on a piece of wax so that when they're hammering from the other side it wouldn't break, and then they'd take the letters from the other side and then hammer them in. So they have to put the letter kuf. They would take a piece of metal, a piece of wood or metal or whatever, the shape of the letter kuf, and put it on the back of the tzitz and hammer it in so that now the letter kuf is sticking out on the front. That's considered chak yireches.
How do you call that? What's that process called?
I don't know what it's called.
The other way is called incused.
The other one is called, the other one where it's sticking below the surface is called incused. This is bulging. This is relief. You're making it in relief. So Rashi learns that that's what they would do. Not Rashi. The Rambam learns. I don't remember what Rashi says, but that's what they would do. Is they'd have something from the other side of the tzitz. Yeah, Rashi also describes that they would do that essentially. They'd form the letters from one side by doing that. They'd have a piece of wood or metal or whatever. They'd hammer it in, and it would stick out from the other side. Tosfos, by the way, in some other place, says that that's not what they did. The Tosfos argues that wouldn't necessarily be considered writing either, because that's backwards writing. You're writing a backwards kuf and a backwards vav and so forth. So rather, Tosfos learns that actually what they would have to do is they would have to, from the front of the tzitz, they'd have to use pliers to pull out the gold here and here and here and so forth to make the letter. By the way, you have a similar kind of thing when it comes to making the shins on tefillin. The shins on the sides of the tefillin shorosh also have to be written rather than stamped out. So there you have the same kind of problem. So actually, I've read about this, what they do, what sofrim, what batim machos do is, essentially, they first make a shin sticking out. They stamp it out using a hydraulic press, but then they file that off, or they do something else to make it that now it'll go back to be level with the surface. And then they use them, now that they have the outline available on the outside, now they use pliers and things carefully from the inside of the first bias to make the shin. And then afterwards they smooth it out using the press once the basic shape has been made using the pliers. So that way you have that it has actually been the actual strokes of the letters themselves have been written rather than stamped out. Okay. I can explain it to you later. It is sticking out, of course, but at the point, they don't make it sticking out by stamping it, by putting it into a hydraulic press and pushing it, because then you have the same problem pushing around the area of the letter. There is, by the way, in this connection, there is a very interesting discussion among the Achronim about printing. Can printing be considered like writing? After all, you're also on the face of it, you're printing the actual strokes of the letters themselves. You're not printing the area around them or something. So. So the fact that it's coming from a plate is neither here nor there, but it's also coming from a plate, but at least according to Rashi. So the Taz, in fact, says that printed Sfarim should be considered to have the same Kedusha as handwritten ones, because he says at least as far as that din is concerned, printing should be considered like writing. Different other Achronim discuss various aspects of that, including some Achronim even seem to imply that maybe, in fact, in theory, printing might be kosher for Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs. The Magen Avraham, for example, mentions the point, the only reason by Mezuzahs, not the only reason, but he says a reason it would be possible by Mezuzahs is because you have Shalai Kesidra, not necessarily can you guarantee that the letters were printed in the order that they were, that they have to be in the Mezuzah, and a Mezuzah and Tefillin as well have to be written Kesidra. So in that case, then they talk about, so maybe in that case, in theory, it could work with an inkjet, that prints one letter at a time. So there is some discussion. Lamaisa, of course, it's not in Lamaisa. Of course, it's accept. So then you have the problem of Lishma. You have all kinds of issues over there. With that said, though, I saw somebody says he asked Reb Herschel Schachter about it once, and Reb Herschel said maybe in theory it could, but the Sofrim's Union would be against it. He said. So it was probably meant as a shtickle joke, but still, yeah. Anyway, okay, continuing with the Gemara. So therefore, so the tzitz was not made by stamping like a coin. It was made, as Rashi says, as Rashi and the Rambam say, by hammering it in from the other side, or as Tosfos elsewhere says, by pulling out the gold from the front side, but it stuck out, and in that sense, it's like the images on a coin. So the Gemara asks in this connection, by the way, Amalei Ravina Loravashi, Roshma, when you're doing that, when you're stamping out coins using a die, what should we say is the process by which the images, then the lettering on that's raised on the coin, how is it formed? Is it, as we were just saying, that the die presses down on the areas that are not to be part of the image or part of the lettering, and therefore the part where you have the image or where you have the lettering sticks out, remains sticking out, the gold or silver or whatever the material or coin remains there as it was. And in that case, if you were to write a get that way, we said it would be possible because that would be chak toiches. Oy kanufi michnif. Or should we say, what happens is the die forces some of the, under pressure, some of the metal goes in, flows into the area where you're going to have the, and that would be chakirefes, and then it would be fine. Amalei, so he answers him, mechratz choritz, in fact, it's the first one. Where you have the letters, the metal has been left in the place where it was, the area around it is what's being pressed down, and therefore it's chak toiches, and it would be no good if you were to write a get that. So Esve, so Ravina asks, what about the braisa we just said? The writing on the tzitz was not incused into the surface. Ela boilet, it was sticking out. It was in relief. Kedinrei zahav, like gold dinarim. Michretz, again, if you're going to tell me that the die for a coin presses down on the area around the design, habaina michtav veleka, then after all, the tzitz is supposed to be made by writing, and you don't have, because this wouldn't be considered writing, it would be chak toiches. And again, he answers, like before, kedinrei zahav v'loy kedinrei zahav. What we mean is the tzitz in one way was like a gold dinner, but in a different way, not. Kedinrei zahav the boilet, It was like a gold dinner in the sense that the letters were in relief. They stuck out from the surface of the tzitz. Veloika dinner is of, but it wasn't done like dinner is of, because in the case of the dinner zahav, the writing is formed on the same side as it sticks out, again, by having the die pressed down on it. Whereas over here, it was me'avroi, it was from the outside, again, by turning over the tzitz and hammering letters into it from the other side. Okay, so that's the bottom line, therefore, is a get, and for that matter, sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs cannot be written by chak toichus. They have to be written by forming the actual strokes of the letters themselves.
Teaches you a lesson that writing doesn't have to be, it could be mirror writing. Writing doesn't have to necessarily.
That's the thing. Right. Well, one second. The thing is, the Tosfos HaRosh brings from Tosfos that we were just quoting that says that's exactly the problem. How could you say that they did it from the other side of the tzitz? Wouldn't that be backwards writing? How could that be considered writing? And therefore, they explain that they have to pull it out from the surface with pliers because otherwise. Okay. Fine. The Gemara continues. Boy mine rova min Nachman. Kosovo get al tas shal zahav. Suppose that the husband writes out for the wife the get on a piece of gold, on a slab of gold. The omelon, he tells you, is skabli gitich. With this, you'll receive your get. V'skabli ksubasech, and you'll also receive your ksuba, because the gold will pay off your ksuba. Mahu, what would be the din? Is that kosher? Omelon. Omalei, so Reb Nachman answers him, yes, niskabla gittam and niskabla ksubasa. Yes, by that she's received her get and she's received her ksuba. So Tosfos points out the reason why he had the question, didn't we just say before that it's kosher if it's written on Yisurei Hana? The fact is, there he does give her the whole get, but here he's saying, I want to give it to you only as I'm giving you primarily as a payment, so does it also work as a get? So Reb Nachman is telling him yes. With that said, though, the Rashba says that actually he would have to tell her first that you're moichel on your ksuba, because otherwise, what surface are the letters of the get sitting on? The letters of the get have to be written on a surface, and if he's giving her the surface as the ksuba, then you can't have. So therefore, you'd have to be telling her, be moichel on your ksuba, then you'll receive this get. And then, having received it, now you have a slab of gold, and now you can go ahead and use it for your ksuba. So Rava asks him, what about though? A braisa says he's skabli gitach v'ashayl uksubasech. If the husband says to the wife, here's your get, receive it, and the rest, meaning let's say the rest of the paper or the rest of whatever it was written on, it should be for your ksuba. Niskabli gitach v'ashayl uksubasech. Then fine, we say she's accepted her get, and the rest of it goes towards her ksuba. Now implying time of de'ikashar. That implies only because there's some area left over. For example, blank space around where he wrote the get. Haleka sha'or loy. It sounds like if he wrote the get covering the entire surface, then it sounds like it wouldn't work. The answer is no. The answer is who adin to afagab the leka sha'or. No, in fact, the same din, Reb Nachman says, could apply even if there's nothing left, even if the get covers the entire surface of the slab of gold. What the braisa is mentioning by using the word sha'or is that. Even if there's a large margin around it. So the slab of gold is much larger than the get, and he wrote the get on only part of it, and you have a blank area that wasn't used at all. Only if he explicitly tells her that this should go towards Huxuba, then it works. But if not, then not, then he's still obligated to pay Huxuba. My time, Avira de Megiltahu, because otherwise we would say it's just considered the margin of the get. It would be bottled to the get. So unless he specifically makes the point that he wants those margins to go to pay Huxuba, then they wouldn't. But the Braisa is not implying that if there are no margins at all, that it shouldn't work to pay Huxuba. It could as well, because we could still say, again, that the fact is the slab of gold is worth money. And we would say, like the Rashba says, okay, he tells her temporarily be moichel on your ksuba to the extent that this whole thing can be considered towards the get, and then afterwards, having received it, then you can also keep the slab and use it for your ksuba. So Tana Rabbanan. So we learn in a braisa in this connection. If the husband says to the wife, here's your get, but the paper should still belong to me, then she's not divorced, because In effect, therefore, you have like the letters are flying in the air. What are they on? That the surface that they're on doesn't belong to her. In fact, you have also the problem, Rishonim point out, you also have the problem that you don't have Christos. You have to have get Christos. It has to be cut off the connection between them. And here you don't have it. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, Amnas Shtachziri Liyasani Yor Harezim Gurdashis. But if he says, on condition that you return me the paper afterwards, then that would work because that's a classic example of Matona Amnas Lahachzir. And that works. Tosfos discusses about the details of that, but that's what we're saying. Okay. So the question is, Boira Papa, Ben Shita La Shita or Ben Teva La Teva Mai? What happens if the husband says, I want to still own the paper between one line and the next, or between one word and the next? So in other words, he's saying the paper on which the letters themselves are written should belong to you. Fine, because otherwise the letters have nothing to sit on. But the blank spaces around each letter, around each word, or between one line and the next, those should belong to me. My, what would that be? The din is that a valid get or not? So the Gemara says, take. We can't answer the question. So the Gemara asks, why we need to have the question? But typically, the sefer echad omer achmonav leshnayim or shloisha svarim. After all, we have the Torah says that he has to write a sefer krusos, implying that there has to be one single document that constitutes the get, not that there are multiple documents. We're even going to learn, Tosfos says, that we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta that you can write the get on two columns of a paper. You couldn't finish it in one column and you continue over to the next column. That would be kosher, but you can't have that. Should be separate documents. So how is it we're going to have Amina that would work over here? If you were to cut off the areas between one line and the next, or between one word and the next, you'd have a bunch of different fragments, and that couldn't possibly work anyway. The answer is loit tzricha d'me'ura. Yes, but a papa's case where he has to ask is where the letters are where the letters are blended or joined together. In other words, Rashi explained that you have, let's say, for example, long letters that extend from one line to the next. So you have, let's say, the line of chafs are written extra long and they stick out into the line below them, and the lamads are written extra tall, so they stick out into the line above them. So now in that case, even if you were to cut off the blank spaces between one line and the next, you really wouldn't have. It would still be one document. It would be one document that's like lace that's barely holding together, but it would still hold together. So therefore, so the papa has reason to ask whether that would still be considered a valid get or not. Achronim talk about, Maharsha talks about, Maharam talks about certain details in that. So what about between the words? How would you have that? The Maharam points out, how would you have between the words? And you're right, actually, he says that maybe the teiku is only if you wanted to keep the space between the lines. But if you wanted to keep the space between the words, then you're right, it wouldn't work, because for sure then the get would be broken up into many pieces. There are different other mafoshim that talk about details in that. Maybe even with the words themselves, you could conceivably have that one word touches the next. In fact, Tosfos mentions over here, you see from this, evidently, the letters in the get, says Tosfos, don't have to necessarily be mukaf gvil. We know in a sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzas, every letter has to be surrounded by blank parchment. And again, not necessarily. Because when we're saying ma'urah over here, Tosfos learns, it could also mean the letters are actually joined together, such that there's actually no space between one letter and the next. However, Tosfos says that's not really a solid proof, because like Rashi says, it could just mean that you extended out the langachofs and the lamads and things like that to go from one line to the next. In practice, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that you should make sure that each letter is mukaf gvil to be on the safe side, because not all poskim agree with what Tosfos is saying over here. If you have letters that get stuck together, though, then you can separate them, because then there's not such an issue as there would be in Sifrei Torah. As long as the letter itself is there, then the fact that you had to scratch off a thing that connects two letters is not such a big problem. Okay. Next, boy Rami Bachoma, hoy mukzakim be'evet shu shaloi. Now, what about, we said in the Mishnah that you can write a get on the hand of an Eved and it would be a valid get. So suppose we have a particular Eved, we know we have a chazaka that belonged to him, the get kosav al yodai, the get is written on the Eved's hand, varei yotz matachas yodai. However, the Eved is now in the woman's possession. So now she claims that the husband gave her the Ebed with the get written on his hand as Gedushin, as a get. So she doesn't have the Edim Asira. So the question is, what would be the din? Do we say that in fact he must have been Makna her the Ebed, and therefore she is considered divorced? Or we could say maybe the Ebed came to her on his own. After all, he's a Ben Das, he's capable of coming to her on his own. So what would be the din? Amar Rava, so Rava says, why do you even ask the question? Never mind that. Never mind the question of whether he gave her the Ebed with the get written on his hand. Don't you have the problem anyway? We said before that a get has to be written on something that can't be easily forged. And in other words, can't be so easily erased. So they're writing on the get's hand, writing on the Ebed's hand. Conceivably, there might have been a t'nai, for example, and now it was erased. So how could that be a valid get anyway, even if you knew for a fact that he gave it to her?
What do you think? The writing on a hand is erasable, you say.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
But you don't have to have a t'nai. The fact that they're written on skin, that shows that it won't last.
No, that's not the point. The point, the fact that eventually it's gonna wear away because of body heat, that's neither here nor there. Skin itself is a durable writing material. It so happens it's attached to a person who's 98.6 degrees, and therefore over time it wears away. That doesn't necessarily prevent it from being a kosher to get.
Right now,
but the problem is, right now it's kosher, but the problem is that it's very easily forgeable because you could very easily have a t'nai that's erased. So the Gemara asks, "So Rava Kasha Masnisin, new according to Rava, don't you have the problem from our Mishnah where it said Ala Yad Shel Eved, where it said you could write a get on an Eved's hand?" So the answer is Bishlema Masnisin LaRava LaKasha. So according to Rava, that wouldn't be a problem because the Mishnah could be talking about Edim Asira VeRabbalozer. The Mishnah could be talking about we have Edim that it was given to her, and they saw what was written on it because we said before the Edim Asira have to read the get before it's given. So therefore, so it would be good. But Rami Bachoma, who's saying a case where we don't even have Edim Asira, so how is he even thinking that it should be kosher? The answer is the Rami Bachoma Nami, like Kasha, Bichstovis Kafka. We're talking about it wasn't just written on the Get's hand, on the Ebed's hand, it was tattooed on there. Now, to be sure, a tattooing is also Alpitoda. Tosfos points out that maybe Midaraisa, it actually wouldn't be Isser, it wouldn't be Osir, because you could have, in order for it to be Osir Minatoda, it has to be that it was scratched into the surface of the skin and filled up with ink. And you even have an opinion of Reb Shimon that the tattooing is Osir Minatoda only if it involves a name of Avodah Zarah. So it would be Osir Dirabanan, but fine, the same way as we said before, that a get could be written on Isurei Hanah, the same way you could have over here where it was written be Isser, and nevertheless it could still be a kosher get. The Meiri brings up a point. He says maybe in fact tattooing a slave is not actually Osir in the Nebsevus Kakalei Sitna. Anyway, the point is, so Rami Bachoma would say that we're talking about that. Rami Bachoma was asking if we know that the Ebed was his previously, but now we find the Ebed in her possession with the get written, or now we're saying tattooed on his hand, can we say that in fact we definitely that means the husband gave her the Ebed with the get, or maybe not, maybe the Ebed came to her by himself?
I understood that. What is Rami, why don't we assume Rami Bachoma like an opinion of Rami?
Because Rami Bachoma is clearly talking about where there's no Edim Asira. So Rava can explain the Mishnah as talking about where there's Edim Asira, but Rami Bachoma necessarily is talking about where there's not. So the answer is, okay, hashtag the Osis Lahochi, once you come to that point, Masnissin L'Rava Nami Le'Tikshi, then you really, there's not a question on Rava either. Because again, with Service Kaka, you could also say the Mishnah is talking about where it was tattooed on the Eved's hand. So it's not a problem of Ksav Sheyochali is Daif, and therefore maybe you don't even need Edim Asira. Well, the question is, my Havi Allah, what's the bottom line as far as Rami Bachama's question? The answer is, Toshma, the Amr Rish Lakish are Goydris, Ein Chazaka. Rish Lakish says that Goydris, which means animals that are capable of going wherever they want on their own, Rashi explains that Goydris is called that because Gidris Tzon, you have enclosures for them. Ein Lahen Chazaka, there's no Chazaka in the sense, usually we say, whatever is in a person's possession is considered his. It's called Cheskas Metalfalin. But when you have a person has animals in his possession, until, Dr. Tosfos points out, until 3 years, you can't necessarily say that he automatically owns them because they might have wandered into his chotzer on their own. So therefore, the same way Avadim would be the same kind of thing. The Eved was not necessarily given by the husband to the wife. He may have walked there on his own, and therefore we can't say it would be a valid get unless we have Edim Asir. So eventually you have a chazaka after 3 years. If it's been in your possession for 3 years and then nobody's protested, then you have a chazaka.
So you wait 3 years to go fit.
But you can't verify it, prove it in court.
Ultimately, you have cheskas metaltlin. So if you have, as long as you have chazaka sheyeshi nataina, as long as you can't just say, for example, well, I found this animal and I don't know whose it was, but you have to have some kind of thing. I bought this animal or whatever, or you gave it to me as a gift or whatever, and that would work. But before that, you don't have chazaka because they move around on their own. So the same thing over here with the eved. So we'll continue talking Be'ez Hashem tomorrow about other cases like this involving a chazaka on a get and so forth.